I'm Veronica Vuto. Tonight on EWTN News Nightly, shutdown, stare down. Neither side appears ready to compromise as the White House examines ways to cut government spending. Terror in England. At least two people are dead amid a rampage at a synagogue on one of the Jewish faith's most holy days. Wings and a prayer. Learn more about guardian angels on their feast day from Father Patrick Mary Briscoe. Plus, St. Therese on tour.
She teaches that sainthood is attainable, doing small things with great love.
Why the faithful in the United States are preparing for something that hasn't happened in 25 years. These stories and more tonight.
From EWTN, the Global Catholic Network, this is EWTN News Nightly.
Thank you for being with us on the Feast of Guardian Angels. It's day two of the government shutdown, and lawmakers remain deadlocked over how to end it. The White House and Republicans on Capitol Hill say the real issue is the demand by Democrats to keep illegal migrants on American taxpayer-funded health care. Let's check in with Capitol Hill correspondent Eric Rosales. Eric.
Well, good evening, Veronica. Yes, we're following this very closely. Both House and Senate Republicans say illegal immigration is the linchpin to reopening the government. The Democrats' funding bill plans to restore provisions allowing migrants into the country illegally to get health care through Obamacare subsidies and even use taxpayer-funded money, U.S. taxpayer-funded money, for transgender surgeries and abortions through Medicaid.
Joe Biden used executive orders, and he expanded benefits, health care, to illegal aliens in his four-year term. That was an outrageous violation of the existing federal law and of the principles of good stewardship. Those resources are not meant for people who break the law and come into our country. They're meant for U.S. citizens.
Speaker Johnson says the numbers speak for themselves.
The Democrats' counterproposal CR, the dirty CR, we call it, as opposed to the clean CR, would result in nearly $200 billion being spent on illegal aliens and other non-citizens.
We asked the Democratic leader about it.
That is a lie. They are lying.
They are not
lying. They are lying. Well, they are not lying. They are lying. And you know why? They don't want people to know the truth about health care and how they're decimating
the truth
it. So they tell a big lie.
Johnson countered by announcing he's put the Democrats' proposal on the speaker's website so all Americans can read it for themselves. Meanwhile, to put pressure on Democrats, President Trump is canceling energy and other projects in 16 states, including $18 billion worth of infrastructure projects in New York. Projects in the state of Vermont are also on the chopping block.
We just saw that Russell vote is canceling energy projects in just in blue states. Now, I wonder how that happened. But that's a naked abuse of power. And it's an indication of the kind of strong-arm tactics that this president administration is using that we've never seen before.
The speaker says President Trump is well within the law because we are now in a shutdown.
So in that situation, when Congress turns off the funding and the funding runs out, it is up to the commander-in-chief, the president of the United States, to determine how those resources will be spent. He has that responsibility given to him by the Democrats in the Senate.
The next expected vote in the Senate to take care of the shutdown will take place on Friday when Republicans will once again try to approve the House-passed clean CR. It's all about the math. So far, two Democrats and one independent have voted with Republicans to pass this clean CR, and Republicans believe pressure from their constituents that Democrats will be forced to eventually come to the table and reopen the government. At the Capitol, Eric Rosales, EWTN News Nightly.
The White House, keeping up the pressure on Democrats, believes the shutdown could be a short one. At least that's their hope and expectation. But the Trump administration adds Democrats are doing it for political reasons and partisan politics. While both sides point fingers, President Donald Trump threatening to use the standoff to permanently eliminate government jobs unveils what might come next. White House correspondent Owen Jensen reports. Owen.
Veronica, as the shutdown unfolds, growing longer by the minute, President Trump meeting with his White House budget director today, Russell Vogt, going over what might have to go.
On Truth Social, President Donald Trump posts his budget meeting was, quote, to determine which of the many Democrat agencies, most of which are a political scam, he recommends to be cut, and whether or not those cuts will be temporary or permanent. I can't believe the radical left Democrats gave me this unprecedented opportunity. And on the North Lawn at the White House, Press Secretary Caroline Leavitt adds,
look, we're going to look at agencies that don't align with the administration's values that we feel are a waste of the taxpayer dollar.
And Leavitt told reporters there's no money coming into the federal government right now.
And so the president wants to be a good steward of the American taxpayer dollar during a time when our balance sheet is looking very grim because the Democrats chose to shut the government down.
President Trump also posting, Republicans must use this opportunity of Democrat forced closure to clear out deadwood, waste, and fraud. Billions of dollars can be saved. Leavitt says Democrats need to muster up the courage to do the right thing. But for now, when the doors open back up for business is anyone's guess. As for how many federal workers might lose their jobs?
Look, it's likely going to be in the thousands. It's a very good question, and that's something that the Office of Management and Budget and the entire team at the White House here, again, is unfortunately having to work on today. These discussions and these conversations, these meetings would not be happening if the Democrats had voted to keep the government open.
The governor of New York has a much different take, posting in a video this rebuke.
This shutdown is a choice, a deliberate decision by Donald Trump and the Republicans to abandon the very people they were sent to Washington to represent.
Meanwhile, President Trump and the congressional leaders are not expected to meet again soon. With no immediate agreement in sight, the impasse risks heading well into October, when federal workers who remain on the job will begin missing paychecks.
And Caroline Leavitt adding that Democrats know they are doing the wrong thing. In addition, she says the administration will continue to talk with lawmakers on the Hill to try to find a resolution. At the White House, Owen Jensen, EWTN News Nightly.
Now to another story we have been following. The pro-abortion senator from Illinois who recently declined to receive an award from the Archdiocese of Chicago. The incident even drew the attention of Pope Leo. Democrat Dick Durbin tells NBC News he is, quote, overwhelmed after the Holy Father appeared to defend him in remarks earlier this week. The lawmaker also says he was surprised by the level of controversy the award generated. Pope Leo weighed in on Tuesday saying while he is not terribly familiar with the particular case, it is important to look at the overall work that a senator has done during 40 years of service. The Holy Father, a Chicago native, added that he understands the difficulty and tensions, but it's important to look at many issues that are related to the teachings of the church. The chair of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Pro-Life Committee says regarding the sanctity of life, there is a hierarchy of truths. Bishop Daniel Thomas of Toledo, Ohio, told OSV News, quote, there's no question that people across the board are vulnerable, but who are the most vulnerable? Those are the innocent and completely vulnerable little children in the womb who cannot defend themselves. The Food and Drug Administration says it approved a new abortion drug. The FDA says the drug is a generic version of mifepristone. The drug is manufactured by a privately held company that says its mission is to normalize abortion and make it accessible to all. In a statement, Marjorie Dan Felser of Susan B. Anthony Pro-Life America says, in part, these dangerous drugs take the lives of unborn children, place women and underage girls at serious risk, empower abusers, and trample the pro-life laws enacted by states across the nation. In New York, two Delta Airline regional jets collided at LaGuardia Airport. Delta officials are describing it as a low-speed collision. The wing of an aircraft preparing for takeoff hit the fuselage of another plane heading for its gate. The Port Authority says a flight attendant had non-life-threatening injuries and was taken to a hospital. Two people are dead and four others injured after an assailant drove a car into people outside a synagogue in northern England and then attacked them with a knife. Police are calling it a terrorist attack and say the two people killed are Jewish. Police identify the attacker as Jihad al-Shami, a 35-year-old British citizen of Syrian descent. He was shot and killed by officers. Police also say that three other people were arrested on terrorism-related charges. The fatal incident happened on Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the Jewish calendar. Authorities say at least 36 people are dead and scores of others are injured after a church under construction collapsed in Ethiopia. The accident happened on Wednesday in the country's northern Amhara region as worshipers gathered for an annual event celebrating the Blessed Virgin. Witnesses say people climbed up the wooden scaffolding to see a ceiling mural when the support structure collapsed. According to the local hospital, the victims include children and elderly people. The death toll is expected to rise. Now to the Philippines, where at least 72 people are dead after a 6.9 magnitude earthquake rocks several islands. A historic cathedral dedicated to St. Rose of Lima collapsed in the majority Catholic country. Search and rescue efforts have ended, shifting now to helping the thousands displaced by the damage. This is the deadliest earthquake to hit the Philippines in more than a decade. We have a lot more still to come on EWTN News Nightly, including war in the Middle East. Israel intercepts an aid flotilla on its way to Gaza. Why and which world figures were on it? And a call for peace. We speak to a bishop hopeful about the proposed peace plan for the war in Gaza. Welcome back. Flotilla organizers say Israel's Navy boarded vessels aiming to break the country's blockade of Gaza. Hundreds of people, including lawmakers and a celebrity advocate, were detained. The Israeli Foreign Ministry says just one vessel remains halted. Flotilla organizers label interception of the ships as, quote, an illegal attack on humanitarians, while Israel says they were not interested in aid but in provocation. The flotilla set sail with more than 500 participants from dozens of countries aiming to deliver aid to civilians in Gaza. Meanwhile, Hamas is still considering its response to President Trump's proposal for ending the war. The commander-in-chief unveiled it Monday at a press conference with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The 20-point plan includes a ceasefire in Gaza, the release of all remaining hostages, as well as a number of Palestinian prisoners in Israel, and an increased flow of humanitarian aid. President Trump had given Hamas 3 or 4 days to consider it. As we wait for a response to the plan, the chairman of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops Committee on International Justice and Peace has issued a plea. He is urging all Catholics to pray ardently for an end to the war in Gaza. In a statement, he offers some insight, writing,
I am especially hopeful of the plan's interfaith dialogue process, which is intended to create a greater sense of community between Israelis and Palestinians based on the values of tolerance and peaceful coexistence. As Pope Leo XIV recently reminded us, the deepest purpose of the Church's social doctrine is a contribution to peace and dialogue in the service of building bridges of universal fraternity.
Bishop A. Elias Zaidan joins us now. Now, we have been here before with proposed ceasefire plans to end the war. What is different this time?
You know, I think this time there is some kind of realistic plan. Even the Pope Leo said it's some type of realistic plan. And we see many countries coming on board, I think, applauding this plan and hoping. I'm sure it needs little touches here and there, but it's a great plan to start with. And I think Israel accepted it, United States accepted it, many Arab countries and Islamic countries accepted it. And now it's up to Hamas to surrender their weapons and say, let's move on. We want peace instead of war and violence all the time. And that's why we're hoping and praying this plan would be materialized and give people a chance to live in peace.
Now, the proposed plan, it's very thorough. There's a lot of points. How hopeful are you that all parties will agree to it?
You know, when we talk with terrorists, and, you know, we don't know, to be honest with you. But I keep reading and think there is a lot of pressure and negotiation from many parties, Arabic parties, you know, Arabic countries, nations, and Islamic nations, talking to the Hamas leader, tells them, look, there is the chance for peace. It's already Israel gave some concessions. They want annex Gaza. They want annex the West Bank. They'll keep it for Palestinians. Give a chance for your people to live in peace. Lay down your weapons. And if you have a chance, you could go to another country and there will be amnesty for you. This is, you know, an opportunity for them to move on. And I hope so. And we're praying for that. We keep praying. And that's why I ask for a prayer, so that God will guide them and open their heart to really seek the path to peace, you know, and happiness, instead of war and violence and famine and suffering. And this part of the world has suffered a lot. It's about time to enjoy some relative peace.
It certainly has. And of course, many are hopeful for peace. Bishop Zaidan, thank you so much.
God bless you.
Up next on EWTN News Nightly, On Angels' Wings. Today is the Feast of Guardian Angels, what you might not know about your holy protector. Plus, care for our common home, an important anniversary in Rome brings singers and celebrities to commemorate. The church celebrates the Feast of Guardian Angels. Each human being is assigned a guardian angel to guide and nurture them throughout their lives. It's based on scripture, specifically Matthew chapter 18, where Christ says, "Do not despise one of these little ones, for their angels in heaven always look upon the face of the Father." Devotion to guardian angels began in the monastic tradition with Saint Benedict and later Saint Bernard of Clairvaux. The Feast of Guardian Angels was added to the Roman calendar by Pope Paul V in 1615. Catholics are encouraged to pray to their guardian angel and develop a relationship with them throughout their lives. For more, we turn to Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, host of the Godsplaining podcast. Father Briscoe, great to be with you.
Thanks so much for having me on.
So the guardian angels have a feast day. Does this mean they are considered saints?
Well, angels are slightly different from saints because they have a different place on the metaphysical hierarchy of being. So what's so great about the angels is that they're different from us as human beings. When we think of a saint properly, we think of the men and women who have gone before us and who, by God's grace, have been transformed in holiness and who now reign in glory with the Lord. So we don't want to say that the angels went through a kind of human life like we did. They didn't suffer like us. But they are saints in the sense that they live now always seeing the glory of God, that they're able to praise God just like the human beings that have been transformed by God's grace and now reign with him forever, just like the saints do. So in that sense, we might say yes.
Now, what advice do you have for us to get to know our guardian angels better, and what can the guardian angel help us with?
Well, I think the most important thing is that our guardian angels are always there. They don't get tired, they don't sleep, they belong to the angelic order, so they don't face the same difficulties or struggles that we do. Today, so many people are tired and lonely and just tempted to give up on their faith and tempted to turn away from the Lord. And the guardian angel can be a great strength in those moments. You see, we're never truly alone when we're following Christ. One of the reasons that's true is, of course, Christ himself never leaves us, but also he sends his messengers, our guardian angels, always to protect us and to be with us. So we can rely on their constant presence and guide us. We can turn to them in moments and times of trial. So I think we often overlook that, Veronica, that we look at the hardship of life and we feel alone, we feel threatened, tempted to give in, and we forget to pray to our angel who is there to guide us.
I recently told my very young niece about her guardian angel, just reminded her, and she said, "Who the heck knows about this?" And so it's definitely fun to see it through children's eyes when they really understand what we are saying. So looking at teaching, is there any church teaching or widely held belief on what happens to our guardian angel when we die?
Well, one of the things that I love is that our guardian angel would continue to join us. So the angel's purpose is to get a soul to heaven, right? This is the purpose of a holy marriage, for example, to help one another to get to heaven. And a guardian angel has that purpose, to guide the soul that the angel is duty-bound to protect to heaven. So I like the idea, and I think it's a reasonable one, that the angels join us in singing the praises of God, that our guardian angels join us, that they help lift us up. So we can think of this in a kind of physical way. It's just an image, but, you know, the angel is the one handing you the harp and encouraging you to sing out in heaven's chorus.
If people would like more information on guardian angels, do you have any recommendations?
Well, we can always turn to the Catechism for things that we trust. So look, for example, at paragraphs 328 or 350. St. Thomas Aquinas is known as the angelic doctor because of his great love for the angels. We could turn to his Summa Theologiae. And always, people can consult the great repository of Catholic information over at EWTN's website at EWTN.com.
Father Patrick Mary Briscoe, host of God's Planning Podcast, thank you so much. We celebrated the feast of St. Thérèse of Lisieux yesterday, but for parts of the U.S., the festivities in her honor are just getting started. For the first time in 25 years, her relics are touring the United States.
It feels like Christmas morning, if you will, that a wonderful gift from God is coming here to be presented here and to be with us.
That's the rector of the National Shrine of the Little Flower in Royal Oak, Michigan. This is the first of several stops for the relics, which will be in the U.S. until December 8th. One attendee yesterday said the Little Flower teaches that sainthood is attainable by doing small things with great love. For more about the tour, visit littleflower.org. Finally, tonight, Pope Leo joins his predecessor, Pope Francis, in calling for concrete actions to protect creation. Vatican News correspondent Valentina Di Donato has more.
We're here at Castel Gandolfo, where the Raising Hope for Climate Change event just finished. Hundreds of people, leaders of the Catholic Church, climate change experts, scientists, even Arnold Schwarzenegger were here, united, speaking about how to handle the climate crisis that we are in. Speakers from around the world and singers from across the globe were part of the international conference celebrating the 10th anniversary of Pope Francis's encyclical, Laudato Si, on care for our common home.
Of the encyclical Laudato Si,
Pope Leo XIV spoke to the participants about the shared responsibility that the Catholics and non-believers have to care for the earth.
Everyone in society, through non-governmental organizations and advocacy groups, must put pressure on governments to develop and implement more rigorous regulations, procedures, and controls. Citizens need to take an active role in political decision-making at national, regional, and local levels. Only then will it be possible to mitigate the damage done to the environment.
The former governor of California and actor Arnold Schwarzenegger spoke about his work in converting the state of California into one of the global leaders resolving the issue of pollution, saying we all must join the effort to protect our planet.
I have a very clear vision that we can do it together. We can go and terminate pollution. We can go and wipe it out if we all work together. We all work together because God put us on this, in this earth, by leaving this earth a better place than we inherited it. So let's do it. Thank you very much. Thank you.
The Vatican aims to reach zero emissions by 2050, a goal, it says, is not just a dream, but an achievable reality. In 2024, under Pope Francis's pontificate, solar panels were installed on Vatican rooftops as part of the late Holy Father's plan to ensure the city-state runs entirely on green energy.
Well, you have to go through a lot.
Brother Michael Perry, a board member of Borgo Laudato Si, speaks on how caring for life means to care for all of God's creations, something that the youth he works with are moved by.
And our future is deeply connected with the plight of the earth, of all human beings, and of all earth. So it's a, for them, it's a life issue. This is all part of, if we really believe that we want to, you know, we're called to protect life and defend life, they tell us that it has to include all of life, the natural world including.
At the end of the event, Pope Leo blessed a block of ice from a glacier in Greenland, reminding all that we cannot love God, whom we cannot see, while despising his creatures and creation.
Lord of life, bless this water. May it awaken our hearts, cleanse our indifference, soothe our grief, and renew our hope.
Dr. Lorna Gold is the executive director of Laudato Si Movement. She spoke about the significance of the event's synergy.
On how we're going to live Laudato Si, how we're going to live our ecological conversion, how we're going to bring this into our institutions in the next 10 years. people ask me sometimes, oh, Laudato Si died with Pope Francis? I think the answer was in the hall today.
In Castel Gandolfo, Valentina Di Donato for EWTN News Nightly.
We thank you for watching tonight. Remember, you can follow us on social media, Facebook, X, and Instagram at EWTN News Nightly. I'm Veronica Dudo. Good night and God bless.